Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all my friends, new friends around the world. This is going to be a wonderful experience. I've been waiting for this for a very long time. The secrets of the voice. Before we begin with the secrets of the voice, let me begin by saying thank you to my Rebbe, to God, with one of my poems called My Gift out of my book Soul Reflections. Enlightenment is offered to the one who seeks a beginning and end, a future today. Forever unaware on a conscious plane, knowledge to be felt, yours and mine now. Conceive your own perfection, accept wholeness, totally experience infinity. Universe, yours is the light returns me home and welcome. Choices have indicated my journey, fast, furious, events, reeling emotions, intellect facing dark nights of the soul, illuminate my perceptions and opening. The path demands my waiting, yearning, hope endlessly speeds the celebration of life. My beingness moves through the process, ignites the flame, validates the journey, the fervent quest of my life, existence. Forgive judgments, foible, faithlessness. Free me at last to be, to fly, to soar, be one, be me. I don't think that there is anything more powerful in creation than the voice. I can't think of anything that stimulates more, uses more energy, more power than the voice. Without communication, without speaking, without singing, life is unimaginable. And the reason for singing, the reason for bringing out and making use of this instrument is communication. Communication in every language, communication with every word, with every sound, with every intonation. In this show, we're going to talk about many things that bother me, that have bothered me, that I need to communicate, that I've written in my books, The Voice, A Spiritual Approach to Singing, Speaking, and Communicating. There are four of them. The last one is The Kabbalah of the Voice. Now, there's much talk in the world today about Kabbalah, the secret of the Torah, the Bible, the mystical secrets, the deepest secrets revealed by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, 13th century, the greatest sage who gave us with Kabbalah the explanation of the in-between lines of what is written in the Torah. It took many, many years to decode this information, this depth of information that I've been teaching for 35 years, but did not know that that is actually what I was teaching. And not until 5 years ago was it granted to me to actually learn and understand the source. And it took 5 years to write the new book, Revealed, the Secret Codes of the Voice in the Zohar. And it's not an easy book. Basically, it's a discussion and analyzing between the holy words of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the author of the Zohar of Kabbalah, and myself, in a very hands-on way, taking his conceptualization and bringing them into the mundane form of what is vocal production, what is vocality, if you will, what is voice, what is singing, and it isn't me, 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 and la, 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 and that is not what you're going to learn. To begin with, in my work, because the voice is indeed a spiritual approach. And without the spirituality of the voice, without that depth of desire, that depth of understanding, the depth of giving, the depth of loving, the depth of completely engaging yourself into the work of the voice, there is no voice. Now, I'm not speaking about the voice that you hear on most everybody. The voice that you hear today on The Voice, on American Idol, in the world. Those to me are not voices. Those to me are mechanical instruments. They are not toned. They are not tuned. They are voices. But when you take away all the mechanics and all the instruments and all the speakers and all the digital boards, usually there is very, very little there. And that is not what the voice is all about. The voice is not about mechanics. The voice is not about electronics. The voice is about thinking, speaking, singing, communicating, making sounds count, making sounds mean something to the person who hears them. Today, our lives are communication. We're on the internet. I'm using the internet day in and day out. 80% of all of my work, my lessons, my interaction with my students is all over the internet from so many places in the world, from Tokyo to Bangkok to Switzerland to Germany to South Africa. We're on the internet. It's an extraordinary medium, no question about it. However, then there comes the real voice. And for me, the real voice is a godly thing. And when we talk about vocal technique, when we talk about tuning the instrument, when we talk about making available all that is the potential of that instrument, we are not talking about screaming and belting and forcing and pushing and out with it and as loud as it can be. No, no. We're talking about training the instrument like a pianist trains, like a violinist trains, like an athlete trains. Whoever would present themselves at Carnegie Hall or at the opera in Milan, at Scala, at San Carlo, at Maggio Fiorentino, at the Metropolitan, in Chicago, in Sydney, without proper preparation. Now, we don't have really, really great voices anymore. I really believe that the last great, great voice that had incredible potential until maybe the mid-70s and then went down the road of the publicity machine was Luciano Pavarotti. He should rest in peace. That was something so splendid until he began to follow the words of management, the words of opera houses, the demands of conductors, the demands of the stage, everything external, but not the demands of his voice, which was marvelous. Then there were people like Domingo, who, thank God, is still singing, and finally, what he should have been singing to begin with. He's a baritone, he was always a baritone, and as a tenor, beautiful, gorgeous timbre, but always, always, always the difficulty with high notes. But you know what? Once you begin to understand that voices are endless, that the potential of a voice is endless, that the idea of I'm a soprano, I'm a tenor, I'm a bass, I'm a baritone, is putting the instrument into a box. When the instrument, in truth, is able to do on its own accord, with the appropriate training, endless, endless things. The whole idea of I can only do this much, my instrument won't go any further, is total and complete nonsense. That is something that is sold to us, the public, by those who are unable to produce what actually is possible. We're living inside a shelter of age, I'm too old, I can't do it, I'm too worn out, I'm 50, therefore my voice is gone. I've had 10 years, 15 years of career. Now it's time to drop the voice, to become a mezzo, to then decide not to sing anymore when the voice really begins to wobble and when really the problems begin. And then you begin the new career. And the new career is teaching. Teaching your students everything that you've done wrong to lose the voice in the first place. One of my great pet peeves, personal, very personal, which I would love for people to adapt to, is to take a song, an aria, a lead, and run it through the ages and run it through the artist. So a few nights ago, I sat and I did this over and over and over again. It's something that I love to do and something that reinforces my own thinking and my own teaching and my own belief. I took Io son Lumilancello, an Italian aria from Adriana Lecubro, and I heard Tebaldi, Renata Tebaldi, the perfection of the voice, the perfection of the instrument, the perfection of humanity, the perfection of dedication to the voice. And I took that from the time she began singing it until pretty much the end of her career. And for all intents and purposes, there was no change in the voice. There was no change in the voice in position. There was pretty much no change in color, except in certain moments there was a little deeper, a little darker. But basically, the real test of the longevity of an instrument is the fact that the voice does not change position, does not change its brilliance, does not become a wobble, does not go down into the dumps when a singer goes into his 50s, 60s, 70s, Lily Pons, the greatest metropolitan soprano, I think she sang for over 30 years, okay, at 93, gave a recital, and that recital was more beautiful than most of the singers of today can even fathom to bring out. These people trained. The voice was their life. The health of the voice was their life, their concern, their working, their training. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about how much repertoire can I do and how much money can I make. And fortunately, those are the prices that we pay Not that Renate Tebaldi didn't go and she didn't do and she had 49 operas in her repertoire, please. Okay. All of this is possible, but the difference between, for instance, we will talk about this in great detail, Renate Tebaldi and Maria Callas, who in my opinion has destroyed with her persona and with her voice and with what she's done and gotten away with in only a 10-year career. Generations of singers. If you listen to Callas, like I listened to Tebaldi from the beginning until the end, and you take just one aria, or you take various pieces of music in a 5-year increment, okay, let's say 1950, 55, 60, 65, 70, and so on, okay, earlier, you will see the demise of the instrument in Maria Callas, to the point where obviously her career had to stop, where the public that adored her basically destroyed her. And then comes the great question of all questions, where were the teachers? Where were the vocal reconstructionists who then would help her regain her voice? We all make mistakes. There isn't a singer, there isn't a human being in the world that does not make mistakes. And the best trained and the best technically oriented and most professional of professionals will make mistakes. We are human. It is the body. The instrument is part and parcel of your body. There is so much going on. However, to destroy an instrument the way Callas, DiStefano, destroyed their instrument is a horror. And the horror of the situation is that the people that brought her up and made her into what she is were then not able to sustain her, because the instrument must be sustained with extraordinary care, extraordinary work, and more than anything, knowledge, technical knowledge of what needs to be done, where the instrument needs to be played, and for certain, it does not get played in the throat, and it does not get played by the mouth, and it does not get played by the muscles in the throat, or the lungs, or the diaphragm. It simply does not come from the general speech level singing training of blah, 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 everything out of the mouth. Callas could never find her way again into the voice. She didn't lose it. She knew she didn't lose it. She was taught diaphragm, and she thought that her diaphragm gave out, but that wasn't it. Her diaphragm never gave out, and the chords never gave out. Her mind did not know how to play the instrument, and the key to all of our conversation is the fact that the instrument is part of the body, and every part of the body is run and governed and motivated and instructed by the brain and the brain only. And you can replace a heart, and you can replace a kidney, and you can replace a liver, and you can do all kinds of things to the body. But when it comes to the brain, you need knowledge. You need understanding. You need technique that sits inside the master computer, and every piece of repertoire has to be put into that place in order, to use a very familiar term to all of you, in order to dot-com it, which means it's there, it's programmed correctly, and when you need it, you sing it, you speak it, and it comes out of you without any physical manipulation or interference. It comes out by a learned thought process that goes all the way back to birth knowledge. In our work here, and also obviously in what I do and what I write about and what my life is dedicated to and what I do master classes on, the conversation is reconstructing the instrument into its original place, reconstructing and reformulating it to work without any difficulty whatsoever, without any force to seemingly come from a different place, and to do exactly what Magda Olivero said at the beginning of one of her master classes. And I quote, le parole cadono sulle labbra e il fiato gli fa correre. The words fall upon the lips and the breath makes them run. When you understand that line, and that what we're after, and that's what we're going to be doing, then we will have accomplished what is written in my books. I invite you to join me and to watch for when our dates will be posted. I think I would probably do 9 p.m. Eastern time on Sundays. That's a great time to do it. Write to me. Join me. We have much work to do. You can write to me at musicvisions@aol.com. You can write to me at voiceinstitute@aol.com. You can go to my website, www.voiceinstitute.org.il. Most important, come and join me, speak to me, call me on the show, and we will talk. Have a wonderful day, have a wonderful year, have a wonderful holiday season, and God bless.